Please welcome Brian Schwartz.
I was having a much different experience just watching, and then when I heard my name called, all of a sudden it no longer felt like a movie because I had to step on the other side of the screen. When I saw the topic tonight, I definitely had a story to share. So I woke up this morning sick as a dog. I had been training for something for over 6 months, the hardest event of my career as a triathlete. This was an Ironman race. This was a long, long day ahead. But I was in the best shape physically I'd ever been. I could eat whatever I wanted. I couldn't gain any weight. But the problem is your immune system gets really taxed when you train at that level. But I had worked so hard to get to that point, I was not going to not get to the starting line. So even though I was sick as a dog, I still got up out of bed and showed up at the start with everyone else. Little did I know what was to come. We all got into the water. The wind was starting to pick up. This was in Utah. And I could tell they were trying to rush the start because the conditions were getting worse by the minute. There were 2,500 triathletes in this race. It was the first time they had ever done an Ironman in Utah. And I lived in Colorado at the time, so it was someone I could drive to. Sure enough, the cannon went off, and we all started swimming. Well, about 30 minutes into the race, all hell broke loose. Because on a shallow lake, this was in Utah Lake, when the wind picks up, and apparently it got up to 50-mile-an-hour winds, even though it's a shallow lake, you have these huge swells, and because it's such a shallow lake, it's actually very dangerous when that happens. So there were 5 to 10 foot swells that we were all swimming in. You literally couldn't see who was where. You couldn't see where you were going. And there was a shot from the helicopter I saw later where swimmers were actually swimming in every possible direction. There was no direct route that anyone was going. One thing I would tell you, though, is one thing you do in a race is you sort of follow the guy in front of you, right? You're right on their heels. Well, we were chasing the first buoy that we were supposed to be swimming around. But after about 30 minutes of this, we realized the buoy was not getting any closer. In fact, it was getting further away. It was so windy that the buoy had become unhitched from the ground and now was long gone into the middle of the lake. So part of the confusion as well is a lot of people, like I was wearing contacts at the time, and it's very common to lose your contacts in the middle of these races, right? We also wear earplugs so that we don't get water in our ears. Well, apparently they were telling us to go back to shore, but a lot of us couldn't hear it because we had earplugs in, and you're just frantically trying to get to the next spot. Well, they kept over the loudspeaker, and you could see something was going on, and finally I turned around and I realized that the crowd of people were going back to shore. So I said, okay, I need to go back. Getting back was not easy because at this point the conditions were so bad that it was a struggle to get back, although I knew I was going to get back. I mean, I was well trained for this. So it took me about 45 minutes. I finally got back. But as I was approaching shore, I could see everybody had come down to the shore and were screaming, were crying. All the fans were just in a complete panic. And I was like, what the heck is going on? Well, it turns out 30 minutes into the race, one of the swimmers had drowned. And he was a 54-year-old guy from California, strong swimmer. This was his third race. And the problem with this event is, this was back in 2002, Ironman makes this wetsuit that most of us wear. We also wear these caps to signify, you know, we're in the race. We all look the same when we're out in the water. The people on the shore couldn't tell who had drowned. And the fact that we hadn't come back, they were convinced that more people had drowned. So granted, we were in the water and we felt, most of the triathletes, you know, we felt safe, we could get back, but it was not the case for the people on the shore. So because the person who drowned was the same build as me, wore the same cap, had the same wetsuit, and I was not a strong swimmer, my wife knows this, she was convinced it was me. She had to go over to the body they had just pulled out of the water and look him in the face and make sure it wasn't me. So she was in a complete panic, and I got back, and of course I just had no idea what was going on. Granted, I was out there for almost 90 minutes. what they were going through after 30 minutes, I can't imagine everybody that was on the shore. So we all got back in, and you know, there was definitely some shock. Part of the problem is, though, you've got 2,500 triathletes who have trained for this day for months and months and months. So they were eager to get back on the course. After about an hour, we were all waiting, and they said, okay, the conditions are still not very safe. We're going to send you out on the rest of the course, but we're cutting the race into half. So now it's a half Ironman. And some people were upset. And believe me, this was that day I woke up and I was sick as a dog. It was kind of a blessing that it got cut to a half Ironman. I could still finish it. But the bike was windy and all this. And at the very end of it, people had paid big money to go to this race. They gave us vouchers to go compete in another Ironman. So 3 months later, I came out to California and competed in the Vineman up in Santa Rosa and did a full triathlon, but wound up having to train an additional 3 months. So as far as racing the clock, that was a day that, you know, it was a pinnacle of what I'd been training for years, and was quite an experience. Of course, after that, my wife was definitely like, you know what, I can't support you. That was just too much of a scare. She's like, you can keep doing these, but I'm not going to be there for you at the finish line. And I don't blame her. What she went through that day was horrible. So shortly after that, and quite honestly, once you do an Ironman, a lot of triathletes do start to sort of, it loses its luster a little bit because you sort of reach the ultimate goal. I mean, what do you do after that? Plus, it's very difficult to maintain that kind of shape and live a life because you're training so much. So I started to taper off after that, after I did that Ironman and completed it and did a few more races, but that was pretty much the story I wanted to share. Thank you.